appreciate that. That's one of my favorite hymns. And during a week span, I probably read through that hymn maybe four times a week. Tremendous hymn. There are some hymns that are like that. They're just a blessing. And I tell you, if you don't have a hymn book, buy your Bible, get one. And in the morning when you read your Bible, ask the Lord to put a song on your heart, and He will. I want to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to take a break just this morning from our Gospel of John series. I want to preach to you this morning the message that I was going to preach to you tonight. And tonight I feel the Lord would have us to spend some time in prayer. And it's a message that the Lord put on my heart for us. And I think it is applicable for the situation that we are going through. If I was to give you a great big title, which I'm not, let me give you the title. The title of the message is Stay Out of the Cave. All right, that's the title of the message, Stay Out of the Cave. If I was going to give you a bigger title, I would stay in your house, but stay out of the cave, okay? But we're going to try to stay out of the cave. And I think it's be a help to us, 1 Kings chapter number 17 in our Bibles. Many of you are familiar with where we're going today, but I trust that these thoughts will help us this morning. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah does some remarkable things. Quite frankly, he doesn't do them, God does. But he exercises remarkable faith in the great God of heaven. And he is a man that trusted God to provide. In chapter 17 and verse number 1, he goes to Ahab the king and he says, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Imagine that. Imagine going in, 1 Kings 17 verse 1 is where we are. Imagine going into the President of the United States and saying, "Listen, it's not going to rain until I say so." That's some serious boldness right there, and he does it. At the word of the Lord, he does that. And of course, it doesn't rain, and Elijah has to trust God. And we see this, the Bible says in verse 5, "He did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." So God leads him to a brook. Verse 6, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Wow. So look at this individual. God says, "Go to Ahab, tell him it's not going to rain." All right, I'm going to go. And he could risk his life, but he goes and tells Ahab that. And then where he's at, God sends him to this brook, and God says, "Hey, I'm going to feed you." Okay. We don't see resistance in Elijah. What do we see? We see complete trust. God feeds him, and God meets his need there at the brook, and then the brook dries up. And so verse 10, he goes to Zarephath, and he comes to the gate of a city, and there's a widow woman there, and he interacts with the widow woman. And verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." So he gives this widow woman word from the Lord, and the word from the Lord is true. And verse 16, "The barrel of meal does not waste, the cruse of oil does not fail." And Elijah, his needs are met now by this widow woman, and the widow woman's needs are met. And this is like amazing. I mean, this is amazing faith. It goes in and boom, and it happens. And you read a little bit further, and the widow woman, verse 18, she says to Elijah, "Man of God, art thou come to call my sin to repentance?" And her son dies there. And verse 19, he takes him and carries him to the loft where he abode. And he cried to the Lord and said, "Lord, basically heal this son." Verse 21, he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Wow. So we see this man trusting the Lord to be bold, trusting the Lord for provision, for food, and for water. We see him trusting at this widow woman's house here. And what he says happens, now he is used of the Lord to heal this kid, this son. It's amazing. I mean, what a man of God. That's tremendous. And then we come into chapter 18. And chapter 18 is the showdown here on Mount Carmel. And we're familiar with this. And again, he goes back to Ahab, and he's very bold, and he's got this showdown here. And look at verse number 19. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And so they gather around, and Elijah gives this: how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And what do we see? We see a bold Elijah, a man that's believing God. And they have there the altars, and Elijah lets them go first, and nothing happens. They cut themselves. He mocks them a little. And then we read in verse number 33, he put the wood on the altar, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, fill four barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Do it a second time. Do it a third time. Verse 35, the water ran about the altar. He filled the trench with water. At the time of the offering, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, thou art the Lord that has turned their back again. The Bible says in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. Wow, what do we see? We see this tremendous blessing here. We see the hand of God on Elijah. And then what he has to do? He prays for rain again, right? He stops the rain, or God stops the rain through Elijah. So we look at Elijah, and we see in 17 and 18, this guy is a man that's got God's power in his life. He's a man that's being used of God to make a great difference. And we think, man, this is tremendous. This is wonderful. Until we get to chapter number 19. And in chapter number 19, I want you to look at verse number 9. The Bible tells us something about Elijah in verse 9. And he came thither to a cave and lodged there. We find him now in chapter 19, struggling. He's discouraged. He's disappointed. He's defeated. He's by himself. He's alone, being all by himself, hiding. You ever found yourself there? You ever found yourself disappointed with life, discouraged with the circumstances or the people around you? Maybe someone says something or someone does something, and it just hits you on the inside. And maybe nobody else on the outside really see it or know it, but you know it hit. That hit me hard. And you try to process things, and you try to process things biblically, and sometimes you find yourself feeling like, I just want to go and hide. The psalmist said it this way: oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I may fly away and be at rest. Because of all the pressures of things on me. And of course, the disappointment with individuals in the psalmist's life there in Psalm 55. The disappointments, it was thou, my friend, mine equal. He had been betrayed by someone that was near and dear to him. We don't like sometimes to admit it, but we're probably find ourselves in the cave more than we like to admit. This isn't a place where God wants us to be. Because God comes to Elijah, and he says to Elijah, what are you doing here? And God's desire is to get Elijah out of the cave, right? Now, as we look at this, there are many different ways we could go, but I chose to go this way because I think it's important for us to know what gets us into the cave. If I understand, it's not just you wake up and all of a sudden, boom, unless you have some physical issue going on, and we talk about that a little bit, it's usually a process. It's usually a process of things that happen or circumstances around us that get us from a place of, man, I'm going to see people saved. Man, we're serving God. And boy, we'd had a great thing happen. And just like Elijah had, awesome, God's hand was on him. And we want to continue to see that. But what happens is sometimes the process begins with us. And I think if we understand the process, how we end up in the cave, it'll help us to stay out of the cave, to stay away from times of despair and discouragement and defeat. Do you know if the devil can get us defeated? If the devil can get us all alone, I just want to go in my room and be by myself and close the door and I don't want to be around anybody. if he can get us that way, why he's not gonna, we're not gonna be winning anybody to Christ. We're not gonna be an encouragement to other Christians. So he'll do whatever he can. We looked at Sunday school, great Sunday school lesson. If you missed it, boy, come next week. Daniel did a great job on this whole matter of discouragement with the people of Israel, the children of Israel. And you know, if the devil, his greatest tool to get us discouraged, to get us defeated, hey, if I don't have victory in Christ, how am I going to say to you, you can have victory in Christ? So how then do I stay out of the cave? Well, that's what I want to look at this morning. And I want to give you 4 steps to help you stay out of the cave, to help you not to struggle with discouragement as Elijah did. Well, let's have prayer, and then we'll look at our text. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the privilege to meet. Lord, I'm always encouraged when I'm with God's people. And I just thank you for this group of folks that love you, that believe you, that want to serve you with all their hearts. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege, Lord, just to take your word and preach it. Lord, thank you for those that care so much about their church, that they're listening and watching. Lord, what a blessing it is to have great folks that just love you and your word. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us now. Lord, I recognize I can't do anything to help anybody. Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to say what you would have. And I ask that you would meet deep needs in each heart. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize how the devil seeks to get us into that cave. And Lord, I pray by your grace we would stay out. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, I want you to go to 1 Kings 19. And we're going to start in 1 Kings 19. All right, 1 Kings 19 and verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. All right, so you look back at chapter 18. Ahab comes home and he tells his wife everything that Elijah had done. And she's not a happy camper. And how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Verse 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Number one step to stay out of the cave is this. Don't let bad news throw you. Don't let bad news throw you. Elijah gets word that Jezebel the queen, even after all that he had seen God do in his life, all of the miracles, the power of God, he gets word from that Jezebel is going to kill him. And he is thrown. God is on the throne. Elijah is thrown by the news that comes his way. I'm amazed at how often things can bring fear to us as God's people. We're not supposed to fear, right? God is not the author of fear, right? He wants us to have power and love and a sound mind. But the psalmist wrote this, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Elijah's brain kind of shuts down, if you would, because of the bad news that he receives that now Jezebel is after me. It's amazing as we look at the Word of God. We see the same pattern in the children of Israel. Often the children of Israel, they typify a single believer. And we see the children of Israel, as we look at them, we see them see God work and part the Red Sea and see God provide. And then we hear of them complaining when a new challenge comes, when they get the news that, hey, there's giants in the land. You see, bad news is bad news to us, but it's not bad news to God. God's not thrown by the circumstances that come our way. Now, when we take all of the different challenges that we might face and put them in a big box, and then we compare our box with Elijah's, I mean, this is a big deal. Jezebel has now made it her life goal to kill Elijah. I don't think most of us understand. I don't either. The pressure of somebody that's out to get you. I mean, we might understand it. Unfortunately, sometimes even in Christian circles, somebody gets hurt by something you might say or do, and they might try to make life hard on you. Maybe you're at work and the boss doesn't like what you did or thinks that you're trying to climb the corporate ladder, and the boss might not like that, so he might spread things that aren't true. Remember, as an operations manager in South Carolina, I had this happen to me with one of the bosses said something, and I said to corporate, that's not true. That is not how it is. I remember feeling the pressure of now in the workplace, I feel like there's people that are out to get me. But Elijah had someone that was after his life going to kill him. The closest thing, as I thought about this passage of Scripture, the closest thing that I could ever think of that put me in this scenario, and it was kind of silly. It was silly, but to me it was kind of real, was when I played paintball outdoors in high school. I mean, they had all their guys, and we had our guys. It was outdoor. It was a big place, and there was probably 15 or 20 on our team and 15 or 20 on their team. And I was happy when I saw these guys that had these, like, real long rifles, the snipers, you know. And I thought, those guys are going to keep us protected, and this is going to be good. And I put on the, you know, the gear. You got to put the mask on, and you can't really see out of that mask. At least I couldn't. Kind of fogs up, you know. And you get out there in the woods. And you're out in the woods, and you're trying to protect the flag. And you're, at least for me, and my heart is racing. Boom, 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 boom. You know, and I find myself, like, feeling anxiety and stress. And it's all silly. Why? Because it's just a paintball. Okay, it might hurt a little bit, but, you know, it's not real. But here I am in my own little world, you know, hiding behind trees, thinking, I wonder when this game's going to be over, you know? My brother, on the other hand, he must have watched too much TV as a kid. He was just out there. I mean, he's got his rifle, and he was out there, and actually, he's the one that won it for us. I mean, he caught their flag, and he won it for us because they took our flag. And he chased them down with no ammo in his gun. They didn't know that. And he got the guy, and he holds his thing. These paintballs hurt. I think you want to give me the flag. And the guy gave it to him, and he didn't have any bullets. I'm sitting there under my little tree thinking, yeah, good job, yeah, hey, we won. Come back, yeah, we won this game. You know, I didn't do nothing except hide behind a tree. It just kind of freaked me out. But imagine somebody's after you. This is bad news. But Elijah lets it throw him. Now, I'll tell you this, you listen to too much news, and it might throw you. I think it's important to be informed. I think it's important to be wise. But we need to remember that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't change. And He's not thrown by anything. And no matter what comes our way, He's still on the throne. It's easy for us to have the same reaction as Elijah. We want to allow this news to just derail us. The Bible tells in Philippians 4 that we're to do what? Whichever things are true or honest or just or pure, think on these things. And we stay out of the cave when we don't let bad news throw us. We take it to the Lord. Number two, don't let life exhaust you. Huh. We think about life. We live in a very fast-paced society. Look at what happens in Elijah here. So Elijah gets thrown, and the Bible says in verse 3, when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He went about 100 miles. And then in verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, I'll take away my life. So he goes about 100 miles, leaves his servant there, goes another day's journey. Elijah is weary. He's tired. He's exhausted. I don't think he can think straight because he's so weary. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 5 and 6, he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. The angel didn't say, yo, buddy, man, what you doing sitting on the street? Get up, there's work to be done. Get up, let's go, let's get moving. No. He says, hey, you need to eat. And the Bible tells us in verse number 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel came a second time and touched him and said, Arise, the journey is too great for thee. Sometimes life can be exhausting. And I know people that have a heart for God and that want to make an impact and that want to do everything they can to be the best mom and the best employee and the best Christian. You know what? We can get weary. And I think it's important for us to remember that we need to take care of ourselves. Nobody, God didn't make life for us to be burning the candle at both ends and the middle as well. And sometimes good intentioned people can go for days without getting their proper rest, can go for days without, and weeks and months without taking care of themselves physically. It's really important as we look at the Word of God here. I'm not too much of a traveler. You know, I do it when I have to. Or I do it when I feel like God wants me to. Traveling, you look at him, traveling can be exhausting. I don't know what it is about our makeup to sit in a car and eat some potato chips and drink a Coke and drive 10 hours and you get to where you're at and you're like, I'm exhausted. You know, any of you have that problem, you know? And traveling, I mean, it can be exhausting. You go to a different place, you eat different food. You know, I had to go in January. My hair, I was turning into a hippie. And so I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to go to a barber. And she said, okay. And so across the street from where we were staying in Deltona, Florida, was this, you know, the old-fashioned spinny thing, barber for men. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go in here. It's a man's barber. And I walked in, and right from the beginning, I kind of was like, whoa. There was about eight guys, you know, four. They had these chairs. I mean, it had a lot of them. There's probably more. There's probably 10 chairs in there. And these were some rough-looking people. And the guy said, can I help you? And I said, yeah. I wasn't about to say no. I didn't know if they were going to shoot me. I said, yeah, I need a haircut. And he said, oh, come on. And he sat down and sat me in the chair. And one guy next to him sitting on his phone, you know, doing his things, and they're talking. And some of them were talking in a Spanish, and me don't speak Spanish. And so I had no clue what they were doing. And I'm thinking, well, this guy starts cutting my hair, and I'm getting nervous because I had never seen anyone cut it the way he's cutting. I said, hey, I just need a trim. He said, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. And he stopped, and his kid was running around there. I mean, he was just a man. I mean, this was quite intimidating. And when he's finished, he says, do you like it? I said, yeah, oh, yeah. I wasn't about to say no. And then I said, you take credit? He said, no, only cash, only cash. I'm thinking, man, I hope I have some cash in my wallet. I was thankful that I did, and I gave him some cash. You know, it takes you out of your comfort zone when you travel a little bit, you know. It wears you out. And Elijah's wore out. Sometimes life can be exhausting. And you know what I think? I am convinced that if the devil can keep God's people so busy doing all these things and surviving in life, he'll get God's people away from spending time with God in the Word. He'll get God's people away from telling people about Jesus. Do you know, I think one of the most spiritual things that you can do, here you go, you ready? You write this down, is to go to bed at a decent hour at night. You know why you struggle if you struggle with reading your Bible in the morning? I don't think it's because you're a rebel. Now, we might have a couple rebels in here. I don't think so. I think it's because we're too consumed with everything we're doing till 10 or 11 or 12 or beyond. And when the alarm rings in the morning, we can't get out of bed. So we lay there for the last second, and then we get out of bed and run off to life, not having spent time with the Lord. Elijah is exhausted. I'm convinced, by the way, that not all of the challenges that we face are of a spiritual nature. We like to say, well, you know, just read your Bible and pray. I'm convinced, you know, if you drink too much caffeine, you're going to feel anxious. You say, Pastor, how do you know? That's what they tell me. No, I had a friend once that ended up in the hospital because he was working out in the yard and he loved iced tea and he just kept drinking iced tea. Ended up in the hospital thinking he was having a heart attack. What happened? Then they asked him, what'd you have? Well, I had some, a whole gallon of iced tea. You know, don't drink a whole gallon of iced tea. You might end up in the hospital. You see, the point of the matter is, in Elijah's life here, the guy is wore out. And it's important for us to make sure that we take care of ourselves, that we get our proper rest, that we eat properly. You know, eating, we all like to eat. And sometimes instead of a tasty cake, I'll have a pie because there's fruit in the pie and it's a little more healthy. But we do, seriously, we do need to take care of ourselves. We need to make sure we don't allow life to exhaust us. Number three, don't let bad news throw you. Don't let life exhaust you. Number three, don't let disappointment control you. Now, we're in 1 Kings chapter number 19, and I want you to look at verse number 10, and we see the same thing in verse 14. God confronts Elijah, and Elijah says this. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. Go back to 14. Go to verse 14. He says essentially the exact same thing. I'm jealous for the Lord God because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. Do you know what Elijah is facing here? He's facing big time disappointment with the people of God. The people that he's supposed to be helping. The people that he's supposed to be saying, hey, God is the way. Serve him. If the Lord be God, follow him. And God's people are following Baal. They're doing that which is wrong. And the disappointment that he had is controlling him. Now, I want to say this because there are a lot of disappointments in life. We're all human beings. Life is full of disappointments. And I'm not trying to minimize disappointments. You see, Pastor, you don't understand. This person really hurt me. It was really, I feel for you. Yes, I'm not trying to minimize it at all. But I've known of people that are derailed from serving God because of something that happened 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. And what I'm saying is we cannot allow disappointments to control us. One of the biggest disappointments can be with people you are trying to help. The Bible says we all have a free will. Sometimes children go wayward. And it's difficult. And it's frustrating. All that I gave you, all that I did, and you're doing this, you know. It's difficult. It hurts. But God doesn't want us to stay in a cave because we face disappointment with children or parents. Or whatever the disappointment might be. The devil will do what he can to put us on the shelf, to get us to say, well, I'm a failure. No. We're all children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to make sure that we recognize that we find our identity in Jesus Christ. We find our identity in being a child of God, not in what we do or what we don't do. Disappointments. Teachers pour their lives into young people, and sometimes they do the opposite. Pastors and Christian leaders preach messages that often fall on deaf ears. It can be disappointing. Elijah's got a search warrant out for his life. He's got a search warrant out for his life. That's kind of disappointing too, isn't it? I mean, all I'm trying to do is be a help. All I'm trying to do is be a help, and now we've got this issue here with Jezebel, and now they're after me. There's a similar thing that David faced. David kills Goliath. And what does Saul do? Saul pursues David. And the Psalms are full of encouragement to us from an individual, David, who went through the disappointments of life. Disappointments can very easily control us if we'll allow them to. We've got to ask the Lord to help us to take those things to him. He does, by the way, deal with Elijah. Elijah I'm still in control. Elijah, I still have a job for you to do, and we'll see this in just a minute. Disappointments. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Boy, we've got to not allow. Yes, we're all going to face disappointments. The difference between somebody that is on the winning side and has a positive attitude and someone that has a negative attitude is really the response to the disappointments that come into their life. And Elijah's in this cave because he's allowing disappointment to control him. Let me finish here with number four. Look at the latter part of verse 10, the latter part of verse 14. Elijah says this, I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 14, I only am left. You know what? He's full of exaggeration. And number four, don't let limitations deceive you. All right? Don't let limitations deceive you. We look at Elijah, and Elijah's, he doesn't know what God's doing. He doesn't know that he has forgotten that God tells him, I've got, look at verse 18, I've got 7,000 in Israel. I've got 7,000 more that are faithful in Israel. God's in control here. But Elijah's got, hey, it's just a little old me. I'm the only one left serving the Lord. I'm the only one that still loves the Lord. I'm the only one that's faithful, and they're about to kill me and have nobody else left, which means what? The work of God is going to die. He's so narrow in what he's thinking. His thinking is incredibly limited. Why? Because he's looking at life through his perspective, not looking at life from God's perspective. And God deals with him concerning this. It's interesting when you look at Elijah, what God wants him to do is get out of the cave. He gives him instruction. He says, Elijah, verse 15, go on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Get out of this cave and get back into serving me. Hey, anoint these people, verse 16, to be king, and here's all the deal. And verse 18, I've got a whole lot more servants. God is not limited at all. His thinking's not limited. His ability's not limited. His power is not limited. And what God needed to do is get Elijah's thinking straightened out here. And I'll tell you this, we may not know what's the end result of the coronavirus, but God's in control. Our perspective is limited. Hey, how we view things are limited, but God's is not limited. And we have got to get beyond our own thinking and not allow our limited thinking to deceive us about God and His ability to deliver us. He's in control. What a great God we serve, an awesome, almighty God. Ephesians 3, we know He's more than able to do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or think. God is able. Let me read this to you and we'll be finished. I don't look back. God knows the foolish efforts, the wasted hours, the sinning, the regrets. I leave them all to Him who blots the record and mercifully forgives and then forgets. I don't look forward. God sees all the future. The road that's short or long will lead me home. And He will face its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. I do look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest. And my fears are stilled, and there's joy, love, light for darkness, with perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. If we will counsel ourselves how we go from a state of victory and serving the Lord, how we end up in a cave of discouragement, defeat, I'm going to quit, I'm going to give up. If we can counsel ourselves, if we can help ourselves to understand the steps that take us from point A to point B, we can prevent the times of defeat, the lack of impact that we have when we're sitting in a cave. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. We got to make every moment count for God. And we do it when we look to Him the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we love you today.